The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Zach Zabin, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Week two of OTAs, a busy week. The Bears losing their backup quarterback, Mark Sanchez, until training camp. Reports out there that Cameron Meredith is also banged up. But at this point in the offseason, it just gives the next men up an opportunity to get a whole bunch of reps, Tom.
Right. And that's what the guys, they don't look for that. They look to be prepared when that opportunity presents itself. No matter what position you're trying out for the Chicago Bears, as soon as you're getting extra reps because either an injury, a hiccup, or something in front of you, you got to capitalize on it. And you got to be ready. And that is a measuring stick for players and their commitment to their opportunity to win a job. Because if you go in there and all of a sudden now you're going from four reps in a period to eight reps in a period, and now you got a couple mental errors each at one of them, that's an indication that you're not ready, and maybe we have to look to that the guy behind you. So, you know, that's the thing about football, is every single guy throughout their career is eventually going to be challenged about their preparation because they are in a backup role.
Jim, what's the biggest challenge when you're trying to incorporate a whole bunch of new players into the mix? Because the Bears signed a whole bunch of players this offseason on the offensive side of the ball. And obviously, they spent the majority of the draft, at least early on, drafting offensive players that have to be incorporated into the mix. Can you verbalize the challenge that Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, has making all of this work?
Yeah, he's got to get all these guys come up to, you know, up to speed. You know, the Bears just claimed the fullback of the Lions, Burton. There's another player you can add to the mix, you know, and then obviously Victor Cruz and the receivers, Wheaton, you know, and him coming over from the Steelers and right from Tennessee. So, yeah, you've got all these things going on and see, hey, where do all these players fit? I think they have an idea of how they want to utilize these players. Obviously, Burton, the fullback, in 21 personnel, can he be the lead blocker and really clear some holes for a guy like Jordan Howard? Yeah, I think we have an idea of how he's going to be utilized, but you need to see the player go out and apply it of what he's being asked to do in the certain situations that the Bears ask these players to do that. You know, as you mentioned, with players going down with injury, whether it's Meredith with the, you know, with the thumb injury today, it's going to set him back. If I'm a wide receiver, I'm licking my chops because it's more opportunities for me to get in there and impress the coaches that I do know what I'm doing. I want to solidify myself as a starter, and I'm going to show it when I get more opportunities and more reps when what is already a very competitive positional battle right now for the roster. I don't think anybody can say it's slated in stone that Cam Meredith is a starter or Kevin White, who we haven't seen in 2 years, is a starter, who's the slot receiver. Those positions are open right now, and these players have to convince the coach. They have to convince Dow Loggins that they need to be the guy that's on the field. So, and it's good to have a competitive atmosphere like that. And with all these new players, the Bears have to sort it out right now. And that's what the coaching staff is trying to do.
Right. And, you know, one thing about during the regular season, you have a regular rotation of reps between all the players that are getting prepared to get ready for the game and the game day activation roster. But when you're going through these stages and you have so many bodies out there, you could be called at an instant to come up here and slide in for a rep. Okay, Deion Sims isn't ready to go. Adam Sheehan, get in there and get a rep. You need to have the same perfection every single player that steps up to their opportunity. And that's the one thing about offensive football teams. You have to be choreographed so perfectly, even if you make a personnel change of one position, that you have to have that same perfection the guy in front of you did.
The reason I bring it up is because we often spend time talking about what the player has to do to digest the playbook and put himself in a position where he can have success, where you're not thinking out there. But as a coach, if you're the coordinator, are there things that you can do? Do you have to simplify things and give it to them in digestible chunks during this portion of the offseason?
Well, you have your daily things that you're working on. Obviously, as you go through the OTAs, you ultimately, by the end of the training camp or the next, say, Bears mini camp, you want to have probably introduced probably 75 to 95% of the offense. What I mean by that, fine, you've got regular first and second down, right? You've got third and medium, third and long. That situation is going to be covered. You're going to introduce short yardage goal line offense to the offensive players. You're going to introduce, obviously, your no-huddle, two-minute offense. You're going to go over and cover blitzes, third down blitzes, those type of things. Coming out packages, those type of things. Defense is doing the same thing. Their first and second down base defense, their third down blitzes. Here are our zone coverages. Here are our man coverages. This is how we handle a two-minute offense or an offense that jumps into a two-minute mode. So, you're introducing all these things. Now, there's two ways to go about doing it. Some coaches can throw everything at the guys and just say, hey, give them the whole enchilada and see how they diagnose. I would think because the Bears are moving to a younger team, we know since John Fox got there, they were one of the oldest teams in the league. Now they're one of the youngest. You're probably piecemealing it, where every day you're feeding them a little bit more, feeding them a little bit more. But overall, they'll still cover that 75 to 95% prior to going to training camp so that these guys are prepared and ready to go. And then all that information gets reintroduced again, but it's just at a faster pace, and guys need to catch up. But it's, you know, normally the third or fourth time they'll be getting that material again.
You know, offensively speaking, you think of teams like the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, the New Orleans Saints, these guys that have had their quarterbacks in place for 5, 6, 17 years, they can make every subtle adjustment that an offensive coordinator needs to be made against every scenario that Jim just explained, up and down the field, no matter what the down and distance is, what the play is called, where you are on the field, what defensive personnel is on the field. The Bears don't have that luxury because right. They're teaching a system terminology and they're thinking to a bunch of quarterbacks that haven't seen it before. And Connor Shaw is getting back involved in the mix with the Sanchez deal going on. But, you know, Mike Glennon is learning as much as the other 10 guys he's on the field with. So is Mitchell Trubisky. And so that kind of slows the process down a little bit. Maybe it makes your offense look have some inefficiencies during the growth period, but you have to have everybody that's on the same page learning at the same pace.
We've got to take a quick time out. But, Jim, before we do, Kevin White had a lot to say this week. We finally heard from him. He was back on the field, and that's a big thing. And he talked about how it's year three. It's got to happen for him now. Psychologically, can that have a negative impact? He's worked so hard to get himself physically right, but the pressure that he's got to be putting on himself has got to be unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's anxious. He wants to get on the field and prove he's everything the Bears thought he was when he was drafted in the first round. My advice, injuries are never fun to go through. He just can't focus on it. Forget about the noise. Focus on the task at hand. Go out and play football. That's all he can do, and obviously health has got to be a big part of it for him.
I believe the best dancer in the locker room will be joining us next here on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly, Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And this week, an encore presentation of Inside the Bears. Relive the fun of a Bears Caribbean adventure with Jordan Howard, Cameron Meredith, Eric Kush, and Patrick Scales. Beach games and swimming with sharks are just part of the special edition from the Dominican Republic. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And joining us right now is one of the newest Bears added to the mix. He's a veteran. You know his work from the Giants, where he used to do the salsa dancing after all the touchdowns, talking about the wide receiver Victor Cruz. And that brings me to an interesting point, Victor. Welcome aboard. Thank you for joining us, and glad to have you in the navy blue and orange. Here's the question that I've got for you. You talked about how you were so fired up last year after that game against the Cowboys in which you scored the touchdown and you started doing the salsa. And I think it was your teammate, Odell Beckham Jr., who pretended to take pictures of you while you were doing the salsa. And you guys got fined for that. Now with the relaxed rules, what I want to know is, can you get away with something like that? And do you go back to the commissioner and say, hey, I want my money back because it's legal now?
Well, thankfully, they rescinded that fine after we disputed it later on in the week. But obviously, that story never gets told. But now with the relaxed rules, man, we're going to be, you know, I'm excited about all the things you can do in the end zone now, not just with myself and the Bears, but with all the teams around the league. I know guys are coming up and being creative and starting to do different things. So I know it's going to be, you know, it just makes the NFL fun to watch. That's what the kid, I remember growing up, that's what I loved. I loved watching Ocho Cinco put on the yellow jacket. And, you know, I love seeing guys do those things. So I'm just happy that, you know, the commissioner understands that that's part of the game. But guys can't overdo it. I think that's the thing. Don't overdo it and respect the game and all should be well.
So the question then becomes, are you going to add something new to the mix than what we've become accustomed to seeing you do after touchdowns?
Potentially. I got some new teammates, so I got to build some a bond with them and see what they like to do and see how we can make this thing a full team effort. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited just to be in there, man, and just getting in the end zone and being in that, and having an opportunity to do a dance and do something alongside my teammates means we're doing something good.
Hey, Victor, I played with an undrafted free agent that was a center for us in Jay Hilgenberg. He was a seven-time Pro Bowler, seven-time or All-Pro, and should get future Hall of Fame consideration. But throughout his entire career, he always carried a chip on his shoulder because he was a free agent. Is that a motivator for you, or do you still carry that chip on your shoulder because you were a free agent, and then you look at your production throughout your years with the Giants?
Man, that chip just gets bigger and bigger for me. I think every year removed from that draft year, I just want to continue to prove people wrong and continue to prove while I'm here. I mean, that's the name of the game. You're only as good as your last year. You're only as good as your last catch or touchdown or route, whatever the case may be. So that chip on my shoulder just continues to grow. Each and every time I lace them up, each and every time I put a helmet on, I still play with that fear of losing my job each and every time that I step out there on that field, because, you know, it's a reality, and that's the reality that I face coming out as a rookie into this league, and that's the mindset that I want to carry throughout my career.
Victor, Jim Miller here. Welcome to Chicago and becoming a Chicago Bear, and hopefully we see a ton of salsa dances this year. It means you're scoring a lot, my friend. But, you know, just from, you know, I know you feel you're back to healthy coming off that horrific knee injury and the calf issues. And where are you compared to the player you once were? Do you feel those years are still ahead for you and where you are physically right now?
I do. I still feel like I got some really great years to give ahead. I think physically I feel just fine. I practiced with the team for the first time today and ran some routes and caught a couple balls and ran some good routes, some crisp routes. So I feel good. I feel good in where I am as a competitor, as an athlete. And I think I still have some really good years left in front of me. And, you know, we'll see how the season unfolds to see if it compares to those years in New York of the past. But I'm healthy. I feel good. And excited to put one foot in front of the other.
Visiting with new Bears wide receiver Victor Cruz, you mentioned that you are most comfortable in the slot. Why? What is it about that particular position and your skill set that makes you effective?
I think that's just, you know, since the first time I got put in there with you know, my previous offensive coordinator back at the Giants, it's just some place where I felt like I was comfortable. I played it all throughout college. I'm familiar with the nuances of getting in between the linebackers and the DBs and the safeties and just finding those little nooks and crannies and getting myself open and being a safety valve for the quarterback and then taking those small intermediate plays and making them big ones. And I think that's where I excel. That's where I can be a great player. And I think last year I proved that I can play some outside and get myself open on the outside. So I think that just adds another bonus to my game, being able to show and prove that I make some plays on the outside, but knowing where my bread and butter is, and that's playing in the slot.
You know, watching you at practice today, I mean, you have an immediate burst off the line of scrimmage that I think that will put fear into defensive backs. But going back to early in your career, in 2010, you participate in three games with zero starts. And then in 11, you're targeted 131 times with 82 receptions. Victor, what happened in that 1 year where you went from very little responsibility to being the main targeted weapon on the Giants? What happened in that one season?
I think just the long training camp and as the season started to grow, I think myself and Eli Manning just began to have a rapport, and he started to know my body language and know where I would be on certain routes. And some plays, the ball would be out before I even turned around because that's how in sync we were. And I think that's the key to being successful from a wide receiver quarterback standpoint, is having that rapport and having that in syncness, if you will, with your quarterback. And you know, that just made for a great year. Obviously, we went on to win the Super Bowl that year, but that sync that I had with Eli really just made the difference. And we had it with all our receivers, honestly. We all were playing well that year.
And just that rapport needs to grow with Mike Glennon. And maybe early impressions of him, because I think he's ready to step in and start, and he's played enough now, and it's his time when you look at Mike Glennon. But early thoughts and what you can do to help that rapport that you had with Eli Manning, and what you can build with Mike Glennon here early.
I think Mike Glennon has all the tools to be a successful quarterback in this league. I think it just takes that communication. I think that the biggest thing with him and I and all the other receivers is communicating on how you like these things run, where you would like us to be, how you would like us to be there, what routes you like the most, and just having that communication with the receiving core and tight ends and everyone, so we're all on the same page, so that when we're out there running routes, it's smooth, it's consistent, and it's concise. And that just builds and builds and builds as the practice days go on and as training camp goes on and into the season. You want to be firing on all cylinders. But I think communication is key to us being successful, and I think Mike Glennon has all the tools to be exactly that.
Veteran receiver Victor Cruz is our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. You mentioned that Glennon reached out to you before you joined the team and wanted to get together for dinner and talk a little bit. Have you had an opportunity to do that? What have you learned about him, if you have? And where's this relationship going forward?
I got to sit with him a little bit and just talk some X's and O's a little bit earlier in the week. And, man, I just got to pick his brain about this offense. I think that was the biggest thing that we talked about was, you know, it's only my first couple of days in it, so I'm still learning it and trying to get as familiar as possible in a short period of time. But it's going well, and it was him telling me what the things he likes, the things he likes to see, and things like that. And just, you know, he played under Coach Mike Sullivan, who was our quarterback's coach in New York when Coach Sullivan was in Tampa Bay. So he knew him very well, and so that was an instant icebreaker for us, having that mutual friend in Coach Sullivan, and it made our rapport even better. So it's just a matter of just building on that, building on the X's and O's that we talked about, what he likes to see out of this offense and what he sees from me, and kind of building on that.
You know, the rapport you have with a quarterback is important, but when you look at the roster at the wide receiver position, you have the most years of service in the NFL. What type of conversations can you have with guys like Kevin White or Cameron Meredith that are just on the verge of scratching the surface of what hopefully their careers will become in their 8-year, 5-year opportunities? And what can you talk to those guys about to help them expedite their wide receiver experience?
I think it's little things, just like, just how to be a pro, how to perform, how to practice, how to, you know, how to do certain things, because they got all the talent in the world. They can catch the ball. They can run fast. They can jump. They have all those abilities. Now it's the little things. Finishing your routes, finishing after you catch the football, sprinting another 25, 30 yards, developing these habits that will keep you in the league for years to come, because they translate over onto the football field on game day. So just telling them those little things, spend the extra 30 minutes on plays, watch an extra hour of film, stick around and have a rapport with your quarterback, or, you know, don't just exit the building and go home and be in your bubble. Like, open up, talk to people, build a rapport with the people around you, the people that are going to be at war with you on Sunday afternoon. Those are the people that you have to build with. And it's just little things like that that'll take you from, you know, above average to superstar to a high-level athlete and a Pro Bowler for years to come.
mature statement, because you've been with the same team and now you're going to reach out and do that as a free agent in Chicago. And I think that's a challenge because there's a lot of new faces. You, Mike Glennon. Obviously, we just mentioned Michael Burton, the fullback. This came in from the Lions. There's other receivers like Wheaton coming in. And talk about it from that perspective, because there are a lot of new starters on this Bears offense, and there's going to be growing pains early, but you got to work together in order to get this thing together up and running early in the season.
Absolutely. I feel like it takes a lot of us, and it takes a lot of familiarizing ourselves with each other, and even just off the field, you know, coming together and just going to each other's houses or going out to dinner, just picking each other's brains, because it's just, we're the only ones that are going to have each other's back out there. And although there's some new faces and things like that, we have to come together in a short period of time and get to know each other and get to know what makes each other tick, because those little things are what takes you from point A to point B in a major way. And then that's when the things on the field start to become easier. And that's when the routes become easier and the rapport and the timing starts to happen, because you've built, you know, there's an energy transfer that happens between you and your players that once you become friends and once you become, you know, solid teammates, these things just happen and you can't explain it. So although there's a lot of new faces, they're going to take some time to get to know each other and figure this thing out.
Hey, Victor, you're targeted 509 times in your career. How come you only had one carry in your career? Isn't there like a reverse for Victor Cruz? My goal for you this year is to make sure that you have more than one carry from the line of scrimmage.
There we go. I'm gonna talk to Coach Dow, see if he can put an 80 reverse in for me and get that out the way for you quick.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't tell the Packers. They
no,
might be
but
listening,
I mean, I saw, you know, you see his explosiveness from the line of scrimmage, and you think, wow, if you could just get the right, you know, the defense moving one way and Victor Cruz in the opposite direction, open field from the line of scrimmage. And then I was surprised to see one carry, 3 yards. Why isn't it 10 or 20?
Well,
I don't know, man. We'll figure it out, though. I'm excited about the opportunity, so we shall see.
All right, this is a trick question, Vic. You obviously, everybody brags about New York pizza. Bro, you're in the land of deep dish. Chicago or New York, brother? I know you've had some.
Oh, man, don't do me like that. I'm a fan of deep dish pizza. I love deep dish pizza, man. But, you know, I'm born and raised in New York, New Jersey area. That nice, flat, long pizza is what I grew up on. But I'm excited to try some deep dish out here in Chicago. I hear it's the best.
Yeah, consider it a way of bonding with your teammates, especially that offensive line. They'd love that kind of food. Before we let you go, anyone who used to watch Knicks games when you used to play for the Giants, you were one of the big stars that always happened to be courtside at all the big games. So I know you're a huge NBA fan. Cavs or Warriors, and why?
I'm going Cavs in seven for one reason and one reason only. King James, he controls the game. He controls everyone around him, makes everyone better. He's also a personal friend of mine, so I'm kind of biased. But I believe in his talent, and I believe in the things that he's done this year. I think he's raised, I mean, just when you didn't think it was possible, he raised his game to a whole nother level. And it's only going to be on display for another series in Golden State for the finals. But it should be one of the, you know, one of the series for the ages, man. One of those series that we run and talk about for 20, 30 years to come. So we'll see how it goes.
That's NBA. Bears wide receiver Victor Cruz with us. Good stuff, Victor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Victor.
All right, Vic.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Victor Cruz, the new Bears receiver. He brings a lot to that room that I think can help, as Tom mentioned, some of those young receivers like Kevin White and Cameron Meredith.
The whole group, you know, you look at his years of service, he has more than anybody else there. And there's just a lot of experiences that he can talk about and, you know, in Super Bowl runs, playoffs, whatever the case may be.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll expand on that conversation. You can join us as well. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Finish at Soldier Field when you participate in the PNC Chicago Bears 5K Saturday, June 24th. Get more information and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. 312-644-6767. Zach Sabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Just had a really candid conversation with the new Bears receiver, Victor Cruz. And Tom mentioned it, how this guy walks into the Bears receiver room with the most experience out of anybody on the roster. And the Bears do have some veterans that they've added into the mix, the former Pittsburgh receiver Marcus Wheaton, the former Tennessee receiver Kendall Wright, Cameron Meredith coming off his season a year ago, and a lot's expected of Kevin White now in year three coming off the injuries. But what does a player like Cruz do for those guys, and not just them, but the inexperienced quarterbacks that are going to be thrown in the ball?
Well, you know, I don't want to bring up a name that maybe just brings some memories, but when I watched Brandon Marshall on the field with Alshon Jeffrey, I think Alshon Jeffrey had his most success because of the influence by Brandon Marshall on an everyday practice atmosphere. And I think that Victor Cruz has that same opportunity. When you see him on the practice field, you talk about the burst he has off the line of scrimmage, and then you talk about all the experiences he has. Now he can start telling guys. It's like Dick Stanfield, our offensive line coach. When he was coaching us, he was telling us exactly how things and what was going to happen maybe weeks, days, minutes before it was going to happen. He gave us a description of how the play was going to unfold from your first step to your contact. And I think Victor Cruz has the ability to do that in the wide receiver room. But then when you have an opportunity to have a conversation, maybe not necessarily with Mike Glennon, but Mitchell Trubisky, where he can sit in the background and talk to him about a play, what a receiver's thinking against a specific coverage as to where the defensive back is standing before the snap begins. So, I mean, there's all those types of things I think can really speed up the learning process and allow a quarterback or a receiver to start thinking ahead, which is really important in the team game of football.
Jim, what stood out to you listening to Victor Cruz?
Well, I think for him, and where Tom nailed it, is the year he didn't get a lot of opportunities, then he comes back and gets 130 targets. So let's not forget now what matchups are about in the NFL. He's a slot receiver, which has been sorely lacking in Chicago. You know, whether it's, whether the injuries to Eddie Royal, whatever, it hasn't materialized for the last 4 years. And we've been screaming about this personnel grouping for Chicago. Minimum matchup-wise, you're getting the third corner of your opponent. You know, is your third receiver greater than their third corner? So there's a lot of opportunities there for him. Obviously, the two-way goes, the quick twitch that you need at that position, he has them, and he has given big plays when it could be a five-yard out route, and he's taken it the distance for a touchdown. So big play potential, which is going to open up more things in the Bears' offense. And, yeah, his professionalism, all those things brought to the table should help those other wide receivers. That is a competitive and should be a very competitive room because it hasn't been very great as of late. Alshon with the injuries, and hopefully Victor Cruz can be a guy that opens up the offense even more with some opportunities that'll give Mike Glennon for some big plays.
Hey, Jim, when you use the term two-way go, can you give a little bit longer explanation of that? Because I know, as an offensive lineman, you don't learn about that until you look at the playbook and you see the arrows on the page. But maybe just an explanation what that means to a quarterback from that position with a guy with that type of speed.
Yeah, most teams bring in their nickel corner if you go three wide receivers and he's going to play over the slot. All right, some teams will kick in their outside corners. We've seen teams do that, but majority of teams are going to bring in their third corner. Our quote-unquote Bryce Callahan would be our third corner of the Bears, and we've seen him play the nickel. But two-way go, depending on how the technique is of the nickel back over Victor Cruz, whether it's a man or zone, inside technique, outside technique, Victor Cruz is a magician with his stems and his route-running ability to set up that third corner of the opponent. And, sometimes the technique of the nickel corner may determine the release of Victor Cruz. Otherwise, Victor, depending on the technique, may have to work it to get open, depending on the technique. But he can release inside, outside, to get to the depth of the route that he needs, or crossing, or whatever route that is called for him. But he is really a good magician at setting it up. And that's why he's been so successful. Unfortunately, injuries have hurt him for a couple of years, but did come on strong for the Giants a year ago.
And he talked mentally about how big of a deal that was for him, because now you enter this season without having to worry about whether or not your body can do the things that you're accustomed to having it do. And I bring that up because in Kevin White, you have a player who has to deal with that, I think, before you can have the confidence to play freely out there on the field. And Kevin spent a lot of time this offseason retraining his body to do the things that it was doing prior to him getting drafted. That has to be a huge adjustment, mentally and physically.
Well, you know, Kevin White has the desire to be great, and that's a key ingredient here. If you have a player that maybe had some setbacks throughout his career, but he doesn't have the desire to give the effort to get back on the field and have a prolonged period of good health, that's when question marks would come in. You see the desire in Kevin White. You see him out there in the practice field. So everything in his mind, it's not going to be psychologically, it's not going to be a lack of mental confidence. It's just going to be, hey, if I hold up, I am going to be an asset to this football team. And I do think that's what everybody wants to see out of Kevin White.
Do you still have the confidence in your body, though? I'm not talking about your ability to digest the playbook, because I'm sure he's a much smarter player today than he was when he first joined the Bears, because he spent so much time in the classroom and watching the rest of his teammates within the framework of this offense. But can you trust your body when you plant your foot one way that it's going to go in the direction you want it to go?
You have to, because there's players throughout their career that has injury plagued early portions of their career, and then they've gone on to have really successful second parts of their term in the NFL. So I think when you see Kevin White out of practice going through the paces that's required of him, he's giving 100%. He's putting those strains on his body, and every time he's coming back to the huddle. And, you know, you don't know how you're going to get tackled. You don't know how you're going to fall to the ground. For last year when we were at practice and we watched Hronis Grassou, he was rounding the corner with no contact against anybody, planted his foot, and had a knee injury because of it. Those things, you know, you can't predict those types of things. Sometimes they just happen to these players.
Yeah, if you play with fear and you play scared, you're normally going to get hurt, is what's going to happen, because you got to play the game 100%. Really, the key for Kevin White is to get better. Every practice that he's out there to work on his craft, he's going to get better, and he has been denied that really pretty much the first 2 years. So I would think great progress mentally. He should be there in the playbook, but you should expect great progress from him. Now, if he's physically healthy and is able to practice every day, he should grow by leaps and bounds.
You know, you talk about Victor Cruz, the first year he's in the NFL, three games he gets to play, zero targets. Next year, 131 targets. That's the type of expectations that we should all have for Kevin White. If he goes out there and has a 16-game healthy season, you should see the triple-digit targets for him, and to make the big catches and to go out there and be an important part of the receiving crew.
You know, we haven't really talked a lot about this, but I think now's a good time to do it. Jim, when you look at Kendall Wright in his career in the NFL, and now that he's on the Bears, same thing with Marcus Wheaton from what he did in Pittsburgh and now with the Bears, what do these guys bring to the field? And how do you think they'll be used within the framework of this offense?
I think Kendall Wright can be used as a slot receiver as well. You know, I think he's going to provide depth at the wide receiver position for the Bears. And obviously, he comes from an offense that we know they want to run the football, so he blocks extremely well. I mean, I think of DeMarco Murray and obviously Derrick Henry and what they did at Tennessee there. So I think for him, it's just time to take the next step. And I'd say the same thing for Marcus Wheaton. I remember, because we do the training camp tour for Sirius, and Ben Roethlisberger 2 years ago said, man, we need to have a really big year out of Marcus Wheaton. And he came through. And then this past year, he had an inconsistent year. But he has the talent, but he's just got to be more consistent. So both have played a significant amount. Okay, these guys come with a lot of playing time of both of them. I think it's just more the consistency side of it, and need to raise that level of their game, just getting more focused, playing more consistent week in and week out. But our solid players, it's just, can they take the next big step in their NFL careers? This is a great opportunity for them. We'll see which one emerges.
I know it's hard to judge these guys in their highlight reels, but when you look at these guys, they do a really nice job of tracking the football on passes over 20 yards. And I think that's a key ingredient there, because once you have the speed to get over the top of defenders, and if the quarterback and all these guys can throw the ball at great lengths, if you get that receiver that can track it downfield plus 20 yards, and now you have that suspicious big play ability that defenses are wary of, now you're talking about the line of scrimmage having less people near it. So I think that's a key ingredient for a couple of these guys that are new to the Bears.
You know, when I was watching Mark Sanchez before he got hurt, one of the things that stood out to me, just watching him converse with Mitchell Trubisky on the practice field while Glennon was out there, he reminded me a lot of the way the Bears used to use Brian Griese. Remember when they had two young quarterbacks in Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton, and you had kind of the teacher player in the room, and that was Mark Sanchez. Jim used to be that guy for the New England Patriots when Tom Brady was the starter.
He is what he is.
Yeah, I want to pick Jim's brain and find out that relationship, that dynamic in the quarterback room. That's next with Bears quarterback Jim Miller, Patriots champion. Get the voice back. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. You can join us at 312-644-6767 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. You know, last week we had the Bears starting quarterback Mike Glennon here on Bears All Access, and he mentioned how Mark Sanchez is the guy in the quarterback room that makes everybody laugh, that relaxes everybody, that, you know, because he's got the experience of playing in some very big games. Remember, he played in two AFC championship games, had all that pressure of being a Jets first round pick. Remember, they traded up to get him and all of that. And then, you know, he played in Dallas last year, helping out a young quarterback in Dak Prescott. And here he's kind of being asked to do the same with Mitchell Trubisky, but also having to help out Mike Glennon. It's a unique position to be the backup quarterback, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, no, it is. And he's experienced on all fronts as a starter, as a backup. You mentioned he's played in big games on a very big stage. Media is brutal in New York. I think we all are aware of that. And he's been treated unkindly in a lot of ways with the butt fumble and everything. But you have to endure it. And you gotta have thick skin, and you got to become Teflon, like I always talk about. And Mark kind of has come out the other side and has been a critical role on the teams he's been on since then, whether in Philadelphia or in Dallas that you mentioned last year. And he's got a unique perspective, and he probably has a very good perspective to give Mitchell Trubisky, because right, much like Mark Sanchez, that Pete Carroll did not want him to come out of USC, said he's not ready, you should stay in college another year. And Mark still elected to come out, much like Mitchell Trubisky, right? Minimal amount of starts, only 13 there at North Carolina. And so there's a lot of similarities and probably a lot of things that Mitchell Trubisky can question Mark Sanchez about in his experiences, that Mark can give some really good advice and really good examples going through his personal experiences. But I don't think there's any ego with Mark Sanchez. You need a really good quarterback room. You don't need animosity or, you know, not that it's not competitive. You, of course, want every room to be competitive in terms of positional battles, but you don't want any divisiveness. And I don't think Mark is a divisive player. I think he's all much like a Hoyer for the good of the team, and he's going to do the right thing to always benefit the team. And he's probably a good resource for both those guys to lean on, because he's got experience in both the quarterbacks that are currently on the roster for the Chicago Bears.
How hard is it to get to that point in your career, to be able to put aside the ego? Because nature is to always win the job and be the guy.
Well, I think because you get to the point where, again, you got to realize, I think all players have to realize that at some point, yes, you're competing to be the starter, and you understand that, but you're not competing against anybody. Like I said, later in my career, I always viewed it as I'm competing against myself to get better every day. And you know what you're capable of, and you know what you're capable of doing. Now, whether you get that opportunity or not, that's up to the coaches, but your goals become a better quarterback tomorrow than you are today. And I always viewed it, if I took care of that, I would be the starter. And that's how I viewed it. But every time you go step on that field in between the white lines, you say, I'm going to get better today. I'm going to get better as a quarterback today. And even in the meeting rooms, it's soaking up every ounce of information that you're getting. When you have your opportunity to watch tape, you do the best you can in that area. When you hit that weight room, you get something accomplished in that area. No matter what aspect you are doing it to prepare to be the starter. And you got to do it every day to get better. And if you do all those things, most likely it'll come true for you.
Well, you know, that kind of surprised me about Connor Shaw, because he left a really good impression on Bears fans, whoever came down to Bourbonnais to watch training camp or his opportunities to play in the game. And then he went through the offseason And then they had the where they released him, and then Mark Sanchez got hurt, and then they brought back Connor Shaw. That's an interesting dynamic to add to the quarterback room, because I think Connor Shaw is a really competitive guy. And I think he's out here in whatever reps he's getting, he's attaching an importance to it, not only for how they view him on this team, or to keep his name out there in the quarterback Rolodex of the NFL.
He's the most experienced guy.
Right. In the system, within the with the terminology and everything. So I do think some of his experience he can lend into that room. Now, whatever his course is going to be here in Chicago, I still think it's nice to bring in a competitor so that room never relaxes.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think you always want a competitor.
Right.
You should. You know, if you're not bringing competitive individuals to begin with as a GM, you're not doing your job. Let's just be honest. You want that building to be as competitive in every room as much as possible, right? You bring up Seattle, the competition there, and it's like that a lot of places in the National Football League, and I'm sure that's what Ryan Pace and John Fox want as well.
I think what fascinates me is how the backup quarterback, because you don't have a lot of time to get ready, and you take a look at some of these young quarterbacks in the last couple of years that have had success. Carson Wentz, his head coach, backup quarterback in Doug Peterson. You look at the job that Brock Osweiler did when he was in Denver, backup quarterback as a head coach in Gary Kubiak. Dak Prescott last year with the Cowboys, former backup quarterback in Jason Garrett. There is something to the way these guys are able to quickly digest what they need to have success on the field, and that's why I brought it up. I think it's crucial to helping a young quarterback succeed. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We spent so much time talking offense today here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Maybe it's because Tom and Jim played on the offensive side of the ball, but you know the strength of the Bears, if they're going to flip this thing around this year, is going to be the way they respond defensively, because there were a lot of injuries last year. A lot of guys are coming back, and we know that when you give Vic Fangio some weapons, that defense can be pretty good. But I think, guys, one of the biggest questions that I have heading into this season, what's that secondary going to look like? You know, Jim, when you start to analyze what Vic Fangio expects from the guys in the defensive backfield, what's it going to take to win a job back there? Because I think it's open across the board.
Yeah, I think you better be expected to play a lot of man-to-man. You better have some body-rocking safeties, want to be physical. I think you need to strive to make turnovers. As we all know, the Bears have been lacking in that area. He wants ball hawks, man. That's what they need. They need to create more opportunities and scoring opportunities for the offense. It's been lackluster. Past couple years, 17 turnovers 2 years ago, and then only 10 a year ago, worse than the National Football League. They need to be more opportunistic in that area, and I guarantee it'll be preached every single day during the OTAs, during training camp, much like Lovie Smith's, hey, swipe at the football, whatever you need to do to create turnovers. He wants some ball-hawking guys back there.
You know, if I look at two third-year guys, I look at Kevin White and Adrian Amos, to me it's almost as equally as important for Adrian Amos to have a major year in his career where he is, you know, 6'2", 214. We saw that he has the desire to go out and hit guys. But now we're talking about him being on the field for 16 games and being that stalwart safety of a Vic Fangio-led football team that results in turnovers, that's in the right position at the right time. He has the proper pursuit angles against patterns that are going to come up to his responsibility. The cornerback positions, that will decide the strength of the defense. But again, when you're talking about two third-year players in Kevin White and Adrian Amos, these two guys have to have their most explosive season of their young career.
Amos, to me, it seems, he has to play a beat faster to be able to anticipate.
But that's recognition. You know, if you have a better recognition of what the offense is trying to do against you, you get yourself in a more effective position quicker, earlier with better anticipation. So that's what I'm saying about, you know, we talked about the mental aspect of a Kevin White game. You know, he's been in the meeting room for 3 years, and he understands all of his responsibilities. Adrian Amos has been on the field now for the last 3 years, and so he has to have those type of traits start to be evident to all of us, where, you know, if a tip ball has to be as the result in an interception, a supporting tackle in the run game, your decision has to be made faster. And so that's the types of things, you know, that's where real judgment day is going to come, is how are you improving yourself mentally as well as physically?
Does it help when you have a guy like Quinton Demps in that room, because Quinton Demps is a veteran, because Quinton Demps was able to get 6 interceptions last year playing with that Texans defense, and probably has some of those things that you talked about?
Well, you know, it depends on what type of competition they are against each other. If you're out there competing for a starting job, you're not going to give away all your secrets. But if you're out there and you're going, okay, I'm in my 10th year and I think this guy really has a tremendous upside, I'm going to try to give him every hint, clue, advantage that it can possibly help him in his career development. So there are those type of you know, little battles going on, because every single guy on this page wants to be a starter. And so sometimes it's going to be about, what is Adrian Amos doing for himself? What is he doing through the verbiage of Ed Donatell, the defensive backs coach, to help him become a better player?
I'm fascinated. When you played, did someone pull you aside and teach you that stuff? Or did you have to watch and just look at a veteran player and say to yourself, if I do it like that, I think I can have success?
You know, I admired a guy like John Hanna, who was an offensive guard for the New England Patriots. That was your fantasy guy. I want to play like him. But our offensive line coach was such a great coach. He told us everything, every single position, from tackle to tackle, guard, guard, and center, exactly how every single play was going to unfold from your first step to the contact. And that was the unique thing for us, is having an offensive line coach like Dick Stanfeld. He sped up the learning curve for you, because he was explaining every single play, how it was going to unfold.
Jim had great teachers in Pittsburgh. And see, that's where I think Ed Donatell helps out a young player in that secondary.
Yeah, and for me, it was Ron Earhart. And I've brought him up many times. Pretty much every NFL offense is based off his offensive numbering system in the National Football League. He was tremendous. And he coached a lot of great quarterbacks and had success everywhere he coached in the National Football League. So I definitely knew I got good tutelage, and it benefited me well having that base early, younger in my career. And as I moved on to other teams, I could always use that base that he provided me as a coach in the NFL. It served me well.
Man, we've got to say goodbye. Next week, the show will be on Friday at 6 o'clock. And it'll be after the third week of OTAs, so we'll have a lot to digest as the Bears get ready for mandatory minicamp.
And, you know, and that's when you better start seeing improvement in every aspect of this football team as they start coming together. Now you start hearing things for the second and third time, and you have to see significant improvement.
For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman, saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.